This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're looking at a few gardening principles.
The law of seeds has to do with whatever seeds you plant is the harvest that you will reap. And so if you want to change your harvest, you have to change your seed sowing. If you keep sowing the same thing that you sowed before, you'll reap the same thing that you've reaped before. But if you want to change your harvest, you have to change your seeds.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, for most people, providing for their children is something they look forward to or long to do. And Mark, when it comes to our Father God, he's no different, is he?
No, and I believe that God is a giver, a generous giver. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave.
That's right.
And as we talk about finances and these laws, I think this is a very important law that we're about to jump into today. It's the law of seeds. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks a lot about it. In an agrarian society, people understood. They were all familiar. We're not so familiar nowadays. Unless you have a little garden and go to Home Depot and plant a few seeds. But the concept is, Jesus talked about it in the epistles, it's talked about, and in Galatians chapter 6, Paul talks about it, the law of seeds. What you sow is what you're going to reap. It's simple yet powerful.
Well, we've talked about the law of source today, the law of seeds from Mark Jobe's message here on Bold Steps.
There are certain things that are intrinsic in the nature of God. Certain things that he loves to do just come natural to him, part of his character. They're second nature to what he loves to do. And oftentimes in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are names that are given to God that describes what is natural for him to do. For example, in the Old Testament, he is referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh Rapha. The Hebrew for the God that heals. Why? Because intrinsic in the nature of God is that he loves to heal. That's just part of who God is. He loves to bring healing, body, soul, and spirit. In fact, Jesus, as he walked around the earth, he healed many, many people, and everywhere he went, people received healing. Why? Because part of the heart of God is he loves to heal. He's also referred to in the Old Testament as Jehovah, our protector or our shield. Why? Because part of the nature of God is to protect. He loves to protect his children. He loves to watch over those that are his own. And he is the shield that raises in protection. That's part of his nature. Also found in the book of Genesis, he is referred to as Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh, which is the Hebrew word for God, our provider. Why? Because God loves to provide. Part of the Part of the characteristic of God is that he enjoys, he loves supplying the needs that we have. He loves providing for those shortcomings that exist in our life. He loves providing. Now, as we think about God as a provider, that he loves to provide, I believe there's a problem at times that we encounter. Although God loves to provide, sometimes we find in ourselves in a situation where God has what we need and we need what God has, but for some reason the two lines are not connecting, the dots are not connecting. And I believe at times the issue is not that God doesn't want to provide, but that we have placed ourselves in a situation where we can't receive the provision of God. I think I mentioned last week or the week before that when I went on my honeymoon right after we got married, I was very poor at the time. I just graduated from college. This church was really, really small, and we were just starting out. And so I had managed to save enough money to buy tickets to Spain. And my father was leaving a car in Madrid, but I had no money beyond that, no plans beyond that. There's a car and a tent. And that was my plan for the honeymoon, and hopefully we'll have money to travel and travel around. And so on the wedding evening, we ripped open the envelopes and took out the cash, and that was our honeymoon travel money. So when my father took the checks and he said, I will deposit the checks and then I will wire the rest of the money over to you. And we thought it was a great plan. So we got to Spain and traveled and just kind of drove up through France and pitching our tent where we could, eating bologna and ham sandwiches, had a good time until our money ran out. Doesn't always seem to be when you're having a good time, your money runs out fast. And our money ran out. And so I called my father. I said, hey, Dad, we're out of money. Could you wire us some money? And so he explored the possibility of wiring us some money. By that time, we'd made it back into Spain. And he said, there's a problem. Spain is the only country that does not accept the wiring of money at this time. So we had a problem. The money was there. My father desired us to have the money. We desperately needed the money. We were saying we really need it now. The provision was there, the desire was there, the need was there, but we had placed ourselves in a geography, in a situation that did not allow the provision to reach us. And sometimes in our spiritual life, we experience the same thing. God is a provider and loves to provide, but sometimes we position ourselves in a way that the provision can't reach us. For example, God loves to give peace. He's the God of all peace, it says. In fact, he is the Prince of Peace. And peace is something that he gives. He dispels anxiety. It tells us in Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, that we should be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind. It is God's will that you have peace in your soul. Anxiety and worry is not God's will. God loves to give people peace. The problem is, sometimes we put ourselves in a place where although God is giving peace, we're not in a place to receive that peace. If I have bitterness and unforgiveness and anger towards someone in my heart, I may be in turmoil because this bitterness is eating me up inside. And I say to God, God, I need peace, please, I need your peace in my life. And God says, I want to give you peace. But because we're full of bitterness and anger, God is saying, when you release that anger and bitterness, then I can flood your heart with peace. But as long as I am in the land of bitterness and anger, I place myself in a geography, so to speak, in a spiritual geography in which what God wants to give me is not reaching me. Are you tracking with me this morning? I've clogged the funnel that allows God's provision to reach me. So this afternoon, I want to give you three laws These three laws are really laws that help you position yourself in a place where you can receive the provision of God. Last week, I talked to you about the law of source. Let me repeat it as way of reminder. The law of source, in essence, is this. The ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. When I act like the owner, I will eventually plug the source and dishonor the owner. That's the law of source. Today I want to talk to you about the law of seeds. The law of seeds, in essence, is this. My destiny is directly influenced by the quantity, the timing, and the type of seeds that I am currently sowing. I cannot expect my future to be different if I'm unwilling to alter my present. Oh, I want to repeat that one more time. My destiny is directly affected, influenced by the quantity, the timing, and the type of seeds that I'm currently sowing. I cannot expect my future to be different if I'm unwilling to alter my present. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10 of Galatians chapter 6. Last Thursday, I took my 17-year-old daughter out for breakfast. Thursday morning is our breakfast date. Her evening seemed to be too booked for me. So every Thursday, I get together with my 17-year-old daughter. We go out for breakfast. We just chat about life, how you doing, catch up, what's going on. And we happened to go to a restaurant where, as we were leaving the restaurant, the waitress was talking about how she really hoped that 2010 would be a much better year than 2009 had been. And she said, I really hope that 2010 is much better than 2009. And I said to her, well, you've heard, right, that the old saying that if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. So if you want to get something different, then you need to do something different. She said, now say that again. So a week later, I was in there getting breakfast again with my daughter, and she was serving coffee, and she said, hey, by the way, I remember, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. I'm trying to do something different than you this year. And I said, yeah, she's got it. You see, in essence, what she is stating is she's stating, without knowing it, she's stating the law of seeds. The law of seeds has to do with whatever seeds you plant is the harvest that you will reap. And so if you want to change your harvest, you have to change your seed sowing. If you keep sowing the same thing that you sowed before, you'll reap the same thing that you've reaped before. But if you want to change your harvest, you have to change your seeds. Galatians chapter 6 talks about that. And in essence, what he tells us in the beginning of Galatians chapter 6, he says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So first of all, as we talk about understanding the law of seed, let me give you four factors about the law of seed. Factor number one is what I call the guarantee factor. Here it goes. The guarantee factor is this. This principle will be applied to the world at large by divine order of God.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, and today's message will continue the law of the seeds. Mark, I like to think about the fact that we're planting seeds with this broadcast. It's a faith ministry, and we invite our listeners to join in the harvest with us.
We really do, and there's a special group of people called Bold Partners, and those are individuals that have committed to a monthly donation, a regular monthly automatic donation.
Very much appreciated.
Very much. And I want to say thank you. And I want to challenge those of you that maybe have been thinking you appreciate this program, really to join the Bold Partners. It's very simple, very easy to set up. And we like to give our Bold Partners a little special thank you, including a regular video. I do a video update, just speaking to our Bold Partners, updating them a little bit, introducing some of the special messages that are exclusive to our Bold Partners as well.
Well, I know that's much appreciated, and we really would encourage you to become a Bold Partner today. If God leads you to do so, you can sign up online at boldstepsradio.org. It makes a big difference when you partner with us. boldstepsradio.org, and you'll get exclusive resources, one of which Mark just mentioned. Thanks for that. All right, let's return to the message now, the law of the seeds.
Notice what Galatians says. Do not be deceived. Hey, don't con yourself. God cannot be mocked. You can't trick God. This is a universal principle that God built into the order of creation. God built into the order of creation the seed principle. When he engineered the cycles of sowing and reaping and engineered cycles into what we call agriculture, he engineered the concept that there's a time to sow, the seed takes time to germinate, and once it's germinated and grown, it'll produce a greater harvest than what you sowed. That's true in human reproduction. That's true in planting an apple tree. That's true in harvesting wheat fields. It's true in every area of life. You go out and you sow and you reap. And here's what God says. God says, I will make sure that this principle is applied to every area of life. And if you think that you can sow one seed and reap another seed, you're deceiving yourself. Because God says, I will not be mocked. Some people think that God is too busy orchestrating the affairs of the universe or somehow trying to keep track of all the wars that are going on in the Middle East and the bigger catastrophes of life, that you're going to somehow operate under the radar, and for some reason God is going to lose track of what you're sowing and what you're reaping, and we can sow one thing and expect to reap another thing. And God says, no, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He won't be tricked. God will apply this principle to every area of our life, and it's a simple principle. Whatever a man sows, that also will he reap. Period. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've looked around the world and say, well, it doesn't look that way. I mean, sometimes it looks like there's a guy out there that's sowing all the bad seeds, and he's cutting corners, he's cheating, he's deceiving, he lacks integrity, he's oppressing the poor, doing injustice, and he seems to be getting ahead and prospering. And it seems like no one's going to catch him, no one's going to stop him. No, he seems to be breaking all the good rules and seems to be getting ahead and prospering. Have you ever felt that way? What's wrong with that? I'm trying to do it right, and I'm struggling. He's doing it wrong, and he's prospering. Anybody ever felt like that? Well, the psalmist felt like that way as well. And God always reminds, David talks about it several times, why do the wicked prosper? Why does it seem like they get ahead? And sometimes you say, what's the use if the wicked are prospering? God must not be paying attention. These rules really don't apply to life. So why even follow those rules? Why even try to do what's right if it seems like God's not paying attention to those that are sowing the right seeds? And God always answers and says, it may appear for the moment and for the season that that's true. But ultimately, I will bring justice. Ultimately, a man reaps what he sows, because here's the problem. In the sowing and reaping process, there's what I call lag time. Lag time is, there's a lag of time between what you sow and what you start reaping. And the lag time is where most of us blow it because we sow and we don't see a harvest right away and we think something's wrong. Or someone sows bad seeds and doesn't see the harvest right away and we think they're never going to see the harvest. Let me explain it this way. When my children were young, we decided to plant some flowers beside our house in a little patch of ground that we had there. And so we went out and planted flowers. I got them involved in the process. We dug a hole. We planted some seeds. We watered it, explained to them that these seeds are going to grow up to be a flower. The very next day, my young kids ran out to the side of the house to see where the flowers were, and all they saw was dirt. The very next day, they ran out and looked and where the flowers were, and we were watering. All they saw was dirt. Then they said, "Dad, I think we better dig up the seed because something's wrong." You see, they were experiencing lag time. You see, something's happening, but we don't see it. That seed is beginning to break down, break open, experience nurturing, but it's all happening under the surface. It's germinating. It's beginning to form itself as a seed, but we don't see it, and it will be a while until we see that little green head stick out of the ground, and then as it begins to grow, it'll grow bigger and bigger, and yet it'll be a longer time before it looks like a grass and then finally develops into a flower and finally blooms. There's a process of time that's occurring there, and we have to be patient. But if we never sow the seed, we'll never see the flower. And in the lag time, it looks like nothing's happening. But yes, ultimately, the harvest is coming. You see, this is where I think a lot of people blow it, because a lot of people start sowing seeds and don't see immediate results, and so they give up and they stop sowing seeds because they said, "I tried it and it didn't work." So, I want you to remember that God has guaranteed this. This is true, by the way, of every area of our life, not just the spiritual area of our life. This can be applied to every single area of your life. It can be applied to your mind. Whatever you sow in your mind eventually is what you're going to reap in your thoughts. Some of you right now started sowing years ago bad seeds, and now your mind is a harvest field of crazy, wild, uncontrollable thoughts because you've been sowing those seeds for a long time. Some of you started sowing into your health. You started sowing seeds of bad eating habits when you were 5 years old. And your mom was taking you to the store for a little Mexican bread. Call it Mexican bread, it was just a lot of sugar and flour. Come on. It's good. And you started sowing those seeds, and now you're in your 20s, and you realize your cholesterol's too high, and the doctor says you have to lose weight, and you know you're bordering diabetes, and you say, "How did this happen?" Well, listen, it didn't happen overnight. You started sowing those seeds years ago, and the more you sowed those seeds, the more they came, and now you're harvesting it in your body, but you've been sowing those seeds for a long time, and in order to get healthy, you have to change the kind of seeds you're sowing in your body so that your body will then start to get healthy. One of the principles we need to understand with this is that what we are today is due to what we did yesterday. You look at your life presently today, and most of who you are today is a direct result of what you did yesterday. By yesterday, I mean your past. You are the sum total of the seeds that you have been sowing in your life.
Well, Mark, I have to be honest, that was a tough but timely message, one that we all needed to hear, so thank you for that. Well, sowing good seeds into our lives is so much easier when we have an example to follow, and that's the topic of a book by David Platt titled Follow Me. It's our latest Bold Step gift, and here's Mark to tell us a little bit more why he's recommending it.
There's a terrifying passage of Scripture that gets me every time. Matthew 7, verse 23. Then I, Jesus, will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms that there will be many people claiming to know him, yet he doesn't know them, meaning they aren't following him. And in this month's Bold Step gift, we're offering a book by David Platt called Follow Me that reveals how the dangerous disconnect can happen and what it really takes to know Christ and to be known by him. If you still find yourself doubting where you stand with Jesus, let us send you this incredibly helpful guide. Once again, it's called Follow Me by David Platt, and it's our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And then don't forget that you can multiply your giving impact this year by becoming a Bold Partner. Your monthly gifts will touch lives of people all across the country, and you'll receive some extra bonuses as well.
To request your copy of Follow Me by David Platt, just give us a call at 844-615-7363. You can also request a copy when you send your gift of any amount through the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Once again, our address is 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or it's easy to connect with us online at boldstepsradio.org. boldstepsradio.org, and click on the green Donate Now button at the top. And don't forget, Bold Steps is now on the radio 6 days a week. Listen to the program on radio or catch a replay on our website or through the Moody Radio app. These are just a couple of ways you can hear Mark's passionate and authentic teaching every day. To learn more, visit boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow when Mark explains the seed and perseverance factors. The message is part of our God Provides series, and you'll hear it right here on the Thursday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.